You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob, and this is episode number 465. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. We appreciate it, as always. We know you have a lot of options, and you're hanging with us, so thank you.
Thank you very much, and thanks for those reviews. If you find the show informative, share it with someone, or please leave us a review, and thank you for everyone. Those reviews are going up. And by the way, you need some Drone You swag, just let us know. We got some stickers and some awesome stuff going around. In fact, the ones you can actually see if you're watching on YouTube on the back of my laptop here. But anyway, special thanks also to our sponsors, DroneBase. If you are new to the commercial area, you're trying to find some jobs, fill up some time, and you don't even have to be new. Maybe you just want to fill up some time. Either way, check out go.dronebase.com/drone you. Why? Because you can actually get connected with companies that need aerial data. So it's like a marketplace for jobs, essentially, for you. Now, you're going to find a wide array of jobs, things as simple as just doing panos for real estate, to maybe even some roof inspections and some video work. But whatever you find over there, you're turning your passion into profit. So make sure you go over to go.dronebase.com/drone you to check it out. But anyway, guys, we have a great question today talking about the Mavic Pro. Is it really commercially viable? What do you think?
Yeah, that is actually part of the question. That's actually the second part of the question. So we'll hit the first part first, but let's play it and then we can knock it out. I think it's a good one, a relevant one, and I like sort of the specificity of the larger city element, and you'll know more after we play the question.
Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Ryan. I'm calling y'all from Philly. I'm going to try to keep this as short and sweet as possible. Basically, I want to know what type of obstacles and challenges can I look forward to while trying to start a drone business in a major city. And also, very new to the game, still practicing, I'm ready to make a purchase on a major drone, the Phantom. All the reviews are saying the Mavic is going to be better than the Phantom. But I'm still wondering if the Mavic has the potential to be a commercial drone. So, I mean, any input y'all can give me would be helpful. Thanks. I'm glad I found you guys. Y'all been everything. It's been so helpful so far. So, keep up the good work. Thanks.
Ron, we're glad you found us as well.
Definitely.
And very, very thankful that you took the time to send in a question because it's a good one. And I like the two parts to the question, hitting kind of everything that he's dealing with, wants to get started, wondering what some of the obstacles will be. And then once he gets going, what is he going to use? Because there's more and more options out there, especially now, because this question honestly came in before the release of the Phantom 4 and the Inspire 2, or the Phantom 4 Pro, I should say. So a lot to think about.
Definitely a lot to think about. All right, let's talk about obstacles really quick. You said you wrote down five of the biggest obstacles. Let's see what you wrote down.
Yeah.
And then I'll add to that. So go ahead.
Let's do it. So number one, I don't know that I'd say biggest obstacles, but certainly I was thinking in terms of a major city. What would some of the obstacles be for somebody who wants to start a drone business in a big city? And I suppose on some level, depending on what you're doing, it would be any business. But here are the things that I came up with off the top of my head. One, in a larger city in particular, regulations. All of these larger cities are starting to come out with, their own regulations as it relates to drones, some of them not necessarily pro-drone. So you need to be aware of those and be an advocate, actually, for the drone industry and for what you're trying to accomplish with your business. That definitely can be an obstacle if you let it. In fact, if you don't even let it, it can be an obstacle. So you might have to work around that. Competition. Go ahead. Work with me.
I'm struggling with this one because there have been cities that have regulations and people, they can definitely ban you from taking off and landing in certain areas. But we have to remember, who owns the airspace. So, for example, like I think of Boulder City. And we have two instructors. One lives in Boulder. One lives in Denver. And they disagree on this subject on how Boulder City parks and open space you can't fly. But remember, if you take off and land from a private property and then go into the open space, they can't say anything about it. They don't own the airspace. So when you say, you know, can regulations, you know, can you let regulations get in the way? I think you definitely need to know regulations, but let's take it a step back. You've got to, first of all, get your 107 license. You've got to see what airspace is in the area. So you're getting your license. You're getting a nighttime COA if you want to fly at night and get those pictures. You're also, which honestly, I've really thought hard about nighttime COAs. We'll talk about that later. But also, you've got to make sure that you're getting cows to fly in the airspace in your area so you can actually market for jobs. So
yeah. All right.
Anyway, cool. Just adding to that.
Nonetheless, you're going to need to know what the regulations are in your area. And I think certainly there are some cities, more what we would call progressive cities, that are, there's some anti-drone sentiment there. And so they could potentially try to get in your way of doing what you want to do. Number two is going to be competition, which you could look at as an obstacle or even a benefit. But it's an obstacle because there are going to be more people trying to do what you want to do. And so you're going to have to step up your game. You said you're practicing. That's a great thing. It's just going to raise, anytime we have competition, it's going to raise the level ultimately of the deliverables, of the quality that's put out there. So it could be an obstacle if you let it be, but it can also be a good thing. Number three is fatigue. It can be a grind. This isn't necessarily relating to a larger or a major city, but there can be some fatigue involved, and that's not necessarily related to drones per se. That's just starting a business. So you got to push through that. You got to love what you're doing. It can be incredibly rewarding, mm-hmm. but it's not going to be easy.
And if you It'll love be what worth you're, it. If you love what you're doing, then practicing on the quality to overtake your competition should actually be enjoying to you. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But even that said, right now you're tired.
I'm exhausted.
So that's what I mean by the grind. And if you're tired because you've pulled an all-nighter to get a deliverable out or whatever,
or two in a row,
and you still have to go talk to a client later today, I don't think you do, but it could happen where you do.
The way I'm dressed, definitely not talking to clients today.
But the way that it sometimes works, you may have to, right? So that's part of the grind. You got to push through, love what you're doing. Also, you're going to have doubters. There's going to be a lot of people telling you, you can't do it. And sometimes it's real subtle. They're not going to come out and just tell you, you can't do it. They're going to put little hints out there. Man, I've heard somebody else that tried to do that and they didn't make a successful go of it. So be aware of those kinds of obstacles, be prepared for them, and surround yourself with positive people. You'll be glad you did. And then finally, one of the obstacles, and this is true again in whatever city you're trying to do this in, it's resources. I think one of the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs make is trying to start a business and not being capitalized well enough. Because
you mean saving enough money?
You've got to have enough money to get you through.
How much money do you think you should have?
Oh gosh, we can't answer that in this podcast. It depends.
6 months worth, 18 months worth.
Oh, you want to put it in those terms?
Well, I'm putting it in terms of, I want to live.
If it were me, I'm going to say at least a year. At least a year's worth of resources.
But I had 3 months worth.
Well,
not saying that's the right thing to do.
No. And there are exceptions to every rule. Case in point. I mean, I don't think you want to go into it with...
If I would go back, though, I'll be honest. I would... If I would have saved 12 months of money, would it have gotten me through that rough point? Yeah, it would have. So, yeah, I wish I would have saved 12 months.
It doesn't mean you can't do it, but it is going to be more difficult. And I'm kind of painting a myopic scenario there, possibly. But I can tell you that one of the primary reasons new businesses fail is because they're undercapitalized. That's what I'm saying, and that's a fact. You'll have to figure out what capitalization looks like for you in terms of how you live, whether you have a family, whether you don't, whether you've already got some equipment, et cetera, et cetera. But that's just something to be aware of that can be an obstacle if you're not prepared for it and you haven't thought about it up front. Bada bing. So those are the five things off the top of my head that I thought I'd throw out there, and yeah.
Okay.
Excited to see how you do.
I think you definitely talked about some great general business obstacles. I think other obstacles, unforeseen obstacles, are people in the existing industry. I mean, you really have to focus on practicing and getting your skill set down to trump the competition, because your quality is... your quality says everything about your business. So I think other obstacles you could have is marketing yourself, networking with people. If you have obstacles with just being around and networking with other people, you got to be open. And
so you're saying that's an obstacle in the sense that if that's hard for you,
yeah,
you're going to have to get over it.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, if you're opening up a business, you're going to have to get over everything and not be sensitive about anything, because the moment you let your emotions get in front of your business, you will lose. Period.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that. So I think the biggest obstacle could be yourself.
That's, yes. Well said. That's actually true. I would agree with that.
Wow.
I would agree
with
that.
I think that's a first for the show.
No, it's not.
Anyway, all right, let's move on to the second point of his question. Talking about the Mavic Pro, is it a commercially viable drone? Well, let's ask this question, Rob. The Phantom 2, was it commercially viable?
Sure.
Could you only fly it during certain days?
Because of wind? Is that what you're referring
to? Lots of reasons.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Okay. So then what's the difference between a Mavic Pro, you know, again, shoots 4K 30, 12 megapixel stills. You think you can use a Mavic Pro for commercial use?
I think the answer is yes, you can, but that doesn't mean it's the best choice.
Well stated. I agree with you that if you have nothing else, it could definitely be a good drone for commercial use. But if you haven't bought a Mavic Pro, I would get a Phantom 4 Pro or a Phantom 4 even for that matter.
Sure.
Because you're going to be able to fly more often. You're going to have a little bit better image quality. You can do a lot more with it. The Mavic Pro is a great entry point. You can definitely do commercial work with it. But again, don't forget your client's perception. Even if you're being vetted by a specific company to fly and you show up with a Mavic and the other guy shows up with even a Phantom, how is it going to make you look?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to say anything. It's just, how is it going to make you look? But then if you say, well, here, look at the quality that I've done, and you show these beautiful smooth movement after smooth movement, and you're doing more complex shots than the other guy, it's not going to matter. But you have to visualize that right there in front of the client. Boom, boom, bada bing. You know what I mean? So can it be done? Yes. Is it going to be more difficult? Yes. Are you going to be able to fly less? Yes.
You know, and that question comes up a lot as it relates to Mavic. And I have to say that when I see the Mavic, when I read about the Mavic, when I whatever, see what people are doing with it, it just always seems to me like a really cool thing to take with you on vacation to capture your vacation.
You know what? I was just thinking the same thing. Or like when you're going to an area and the local government says you're not supposed to have a drone, but technically the airspace is open, so all of a sudden you throw it up in the air and it turns on and then it goes for a little spin.
Yeah, it comes back and it's in your pocket and you're like,
I don't know who was flying that drone.
Is that a drone or are you just happy to... No, I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. I shouldn't do that. Anyways.
Oh, man, that was funny. Either way, that's how I see the Mavic 2. I also see the Mavic as a vlogger's paradise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can fit, like for example, I can fit my A6300, my Sony Alpha. I can fit two GoPros, two Z cameras, an Osmo, and a Mavic Pro in my backpack.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of camera gear.
Absolutely.
In one backpack. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can do a lot with that.
So I think it's definitely flexible and it offers solutions in areas that may be difficult to take other big drones into. But I don't think, just like you said it succinctly, can it be possible? Yes. Is it the best drone for the job? No.
Right. Yeah. You know, the one place that it does come to mind, I remember a while back somebody asked us, how do I use my drone and how should I make it work in a really tight space? And I don't know if that means there's a lot of power lines or there's a lot of trees around a house, that kind of a thing. I think that's what he was getting at. Maybe a Mavic would be good for that. Sort of a basic level real estate video where there are tight spaces. Just a thought. You're not buying it.
No.
Okay. All right. So vacation drone.
Vacation drone. Family drone.
That's right.
Very expensive.
Very expensive, very cool family drone.
Anyway, guys, I hope that answers your question, my friend. If you have a question, go to askadroney.com and upload that question so we can answer it here on the show. Again, thanks for this review, guys. I do really appreciate it. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.